We'll desire your prayers this morning. I appreciate the service thus far. For the testimonies, I was sitting there reminded of a message the Lord had given us some time back about trash talk. And we're none of us immune from that. The devil comes along and accuses us and talks to us and all of his ways. It's just trash talk. The best thing that we can do is not listen to him, give him any time. But I appreciate the goodness of God and grace that he gives us in our time of battle, time of trouble. I'd like to remember today's anniversary. 15 years ago today, this country was under attack, and over 3,000 souls through it all went out into eternity because of the airplanes that hit the towers, the Pentagon, the one that was headed to the, White House, that landed, force landed, or was destroyed in Pennsylvania. I've been to that place where that plane went down. But I want to think about that just for a minute, and it will lead into what the Lord has laid on our hearts. I'll try not to be too long since it's kind of late. That day was very devastating, to say the least. It was a shock to our nation, to our people, to think that what happened, what was carried out with our own planes as weapons and our own people as pawns, so to speak, collateral damage in the thing that they was trying to accomplish. I remember reading where Osama bin Laden himself said that the fact that the buildings went all the way down to the, were burned all the way down to the ground was even more than more than he could comprehend. He didn't think it would go that far. When those planes, I suppose you've all seen videos, pictures, when they hit those towers, it was a ball of fire, wasn't it? Mixed with the aviation fuel that was in the airplanes and the impact that the planes made into the building. I still remember the videos that I saw of people jumping out of those towers to their deaths to get away from the heat and from the destruction and from the things that were going on up in the towers. And something else that I remember about that is that very shortly after that happened, they said that the church houses became very full. More people started going to church after that incident happened and had been going to church for years. And it said it lasted about 3 months. And then things got back to normal. You know, I don't know if you've considered it or not, but I thought about that a lot many different times. And you know, it kind of tells me one thing. Where there is no fear of God, there is no worship of God. When people realize how fleeting that life can be and realize how quickly that they can leave out of this world, then they begin to think about God. They begin to think about their eternal destiny. But it lasted, they said, about 3 months. And then things got back to normal. It was an awful thing. It was a terrible thing that came upon our people there in New York City and the other places. But God allowed it, didn't he? God had a purpose in it all. I can remember when we, back at that time in 2001, we were still in our little chapel over in Tryon Avenue. At that time, I'm thinking that we had about, I've counted 50 to 55 people in our congregation. After that happened, we had, like we do here, two services a day so that people that were from a distance could go home. I remember people coming from Wisconsin and all different places, and they were pretty regular about it. It seemed like there was a fear in the land, a fear in our world. People realizing, remember what I said last Sunday? I said people are more caught up and interested in prosperity than they are being prepared. And you know, the wise man would tell us that we need to be prepared because we're none of us going to be here forever. And surely the end will come for us all someday. But I want us to think about fire this morning. Fire. I want to talk about fire. That ball of fire that flew out of that building when the impact was made, was very impressive. It was very hot. It was very destructive. But I want us to consider fire just a little bit this morning. You know what a phenomenon is? A phenomenon is something that happens, and even science doesn't understand why, but it happens. And they say when you take a match that's got sulfur in the end of it, and you strike it on something that is coarse, and flame comes up, they say that's a phenomenon. They don't know why that fire just comes out of the end of that match when you strike it across that grit. But it does. It's a phenomenon that they don't even fully understand, even in the science world, or they didn't at the time that I read about it. Fire. Fire can be very destructive. And it is very destructive, isn't it? There's a lot of forest fires. There's a lot of wildfires. There's a lot of fires out in California. Every summer we read about the fires and how that it burns down trees, burns down forests, even burns down homes. Whatever's in the path, the fire gets a hold of it. It burns it. It consumes it, doesn't it? In 1348, now that's been a long time ago, there was a plague that happened in Europe. You and I probably heard of it. It's known as the bubonic plague. It consumed Europe at the time. It seems they discovered that there were fleas that would bite people, and those fleas carried a terrible disease. And people died by the thousands across Europe because of this terrible plague that was infected there. I read where there was over 45 million people dying of the bubonic plague. Then after that went on for a while, something happened. Fire broke out in Europe. Fire broke out and began to burn all through Europe. I don't remember how it got started. I don't remember where all it went, but it burned for a long, long time. And after the fire was eventually out, it said it rid them of the bubonic plague. So even though fire can be destructive, it can have positive effect upon our society. It can stimulate growth in our various ecological systems. Plants that are hardy, those plants that can stand the heat and the flame that come through this, sometimes after a forest of trees have been destroyed by fire, there's new life. New life comes back into that forest, into the trees, and into the plants that are there. fire. Scientists say that fire is the rapid oxidation of a material in the chemical process of combustion. It releases light, it releases heat, and it releases other products, whatever they mean by that. I want to talk about another fire that broke out. The London Fire of 1633. Some people blamed it on old Mrs. O'Leary's cow that kicked over the bucket and something happened there in the barn and the fire broke out. I don't know how the fire broke out. That's really, from what I understand, not a real true story. But fire broke out in London. Do you know what the time that fire broke out in London? They had quickly built up a city. People had moved in. They built houses side by side. Hardly any space even between the houses. Everything was shabbily thrown together. And London wasn't a very safe place to be at the time. Fire broke out and began to burn all these things. And the folks there, after they got through the fire, after they got through the destruction, they were able to rebuild the city of London. And they built it with much more wisdom, with much more care, with much more understanding how to keep some space and distance between houses and things like that. Fire can teach you and I a lot of things. But sometimes you got to go through the suffering part in order to learn the process. God has a process that He wants to bring you and I through, folks. And it's a process of fire. Let's look at Mark, the book of Mark, the 9th chapter. In the 49th verse, Jesus said, "For everyone, I didn't leave anybody out, shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another." I'm always amazed. Sometimes you read some things that Jesus says, and it makes for good reading, but it piques my interest sometimes, and I want to get into it and try to understand a little more what Jesus is really talking about. Every sacrifice, every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice salted with salt. Have you ever felt like in your walk with the Lord that you've had to go through some fire? Some fiery testing? Some places that you didn't understand? Did you ever feel like the Lord has allowed you to go through places that have been difficult, things that was kind of over your head, so to speak, and it wasn't until you came out to the other side of it that you realized what God was doing with you and for you? We've all been there. Then He talks about the salt. And He says that the salt, every sacrifice will be salted with salt. People use salt to cure pork, don't they? Salt will cure things. And as salt preserves the flesh from corruption, so this fire that Jesus is talking about, mingled with salt, has the same process. Lord, help me to get this out right. Has the same process of assimilating things and casting it all together and making it the very nature, you and I, the very nature of God Himself. That's the purpose of the fire. And it's the purpose of the salt, that we may be made conformable to His image. Fire burns. Fire hurts. Fire is a difficult time. We really don't like the hot times, do we? But the salt preserves the soul from being consumed in the everlasting fire. How is God going to destroy this world now? He's going to destroy it with fire, isn't he? And you and I are to bring ourselves before God a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And folks, if we give up, put ourselves on the altar, God is going to allow the fire to come. And I want to say something about fire. This has to do with you and me. Fire burns out when there's no more fuel to feed it. The firefighters put water on the flames when they're burning. The water doesn't stop the flames, but it's to soak the fuel. It's to make the things waterlogged that's causing the flames to burn, and that's what puts the fire out. Oxygen and material will allow fire to burn. Folks, when the Lord saves you and I, He has some things He needs to do for you and I. There's a process that He works on us, on ourselves, on my personality, on my character. And as long as there's something there to burn, God is going to allow the fire to burn. But when we get to the place where we submit ourselves on that altar of sacrifice and we give it to the Lord and we allow Him to consume this sacrifice that we have given Him, and there's no more fuel for flame, the fire then will go out. How many of us have noticed that the fire keeps coming? The fire keeps coming. The Lord keeps dealing with us in His mercy and in His love. He keeps dealing with each and every one of us. Let's look at a scripture now. I've tried to use the natural to get into the spiritual side of this fire. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, I believe it is. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in the 9th verse, Paul said, "We're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building." Folks, if we're God's, we belong to Him. He has the right, doesn't He, to do whatever He needs to do. Yes. To make us fitly framed into the kingdom of God. So he said, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble." Now we recognize in that verse right there, there's some things that when you put the fire to it, the fire will consume it. It'll just burn it up, won't it? The wood, the hay, and the stubble. But he said, if you build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, it's up to you what you build on it. It's up to you and I what we put into this thing. It's up to you and I what we allow ourselves to take hold of. It's up to you and I of what we take pleasure out of in this life. It's up to you and I to have the consecration and a heart toward God to serve Him, to love Him, and to please Him with everything that you and I do. And those things that we get out of bounds with, those things that don't please God, I want to tell you something, folks, it's fuel for the fire. God will send the fire. Sometimes we go through things, we ask the Lord questions, why this and why that? I want to tell you, because God is interested in us. We're God's husbandry. We're God's building, folks. We belong to God. If you've given yourself to God, folks, He's going to do right by your soul to do everything He can in your life to get you to see Him in a greater way. To get you to draw closer to Him. To get you to please Him with your life. He wants to turn us around to realize that it isn't my life that's so important, but it's His life, the life of Christ in me, and the work that He wants to do in me. I might have mentioned this recently, but I had another person tell me the other day. He asked me how I was doing. I tell him I'm blessed. How are you? And oh, I'm living the dream. They're all living the dream. I want to tell you, my dream and my desire, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart this morning, is to please God. To live in such a way that I will lift Him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And that's what I want to do. Not so much necessarily of what I say, but how I live, how I act, my attitudes, and the way that I conduct myself. That I would have a good conduct and a good conversation in this world, that they might be able to see Christ. That they might be condemned by my life and realize there's something better than this. The question was asked in our Sunday school this morning, who is God? How would you describe God? God told the children of Israel, you be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. God is holy, isn't He? I'll tell you who God is. And He mentioned it. God is love. But if you take water and you take wet out of the water, it isn't water anymore. If you take the burn out of the fire, it's not fire anymore. If you take love out of God, He doesn't exist, folks, because He is love. And I'm thankful that He is. I'm thankful that He loves us, that He cares about us, that He steps in between us and all the evil and the wickedness and the sin that this world is evolving around today. Revolving around today. I'm thankful that He cares about us. You can't take the love out of God. If you do, He doesn't exist. But I'm thankful He does exist today. He said here, precious stones, gold, silver, wood, hay, and stubble. There's another way to look at that. That could be the doctrines that we embrace and that we imbibe. The doctrines. Folks, it seems like the Lord is really impressing on me. He keeps bringing this to my heart. Jesus told the Pharisees and the disciples, my doctrine's not mine. And folks, sometimes people get so concerned with the doctrines. And He went on to say, if you will learn to follow me, if you'll learn to be obedient, then you can get a hold of the doctrines. Then you can understand the doctrines. But He's got something to say here. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. What day is that? Folks, there's coming a day. We all know that. I hope we all believe that here this morning. There's coming a day. It'll be revealed by fire when the Lord comes back and brings the angels with Him and the saints with Him. And He calls this world to judgment, folks. There's going to be fire that's going to destroy this thing. The elements in the earth, it says, will burn up with fervent heat and it'll all melt away. It's going to happen someday because God said so. Because He said so. It shall be revealed by fire. Now here's a fire that will try every man's work of what sort it is. What do you believe today? Oh, I've been thinking about belief. It's so important what you and I believe. But my heart, I'm grieved. I'm grieved for several reasons this morning. One of the things that I'm really grieved about is what people believe. What people will accept that they will stake their eternal souls on. It amazes me what people will accept. And they will accept it from someone else without even fully going into it themselves to learn and understand for their own benefit and for the sake of their souls what they're really believing. Do you know that before those planes flew into those towers, I read a prayer that was prayed that Osama bin Laden put out and was given to these fellows. There was a prayer that was prayed. These fellows, what they believed was very important to them, because they believed that if they would die in service to what they were, allegiance to what they believed in, that they was going to have some virgins and they was going to do this and they was going to do that, and they believed in that strong enough, they was willing to die for it. I've only got one life. And I got to be very careful how I live it. And I got to be very careful how I prepare for the life to come, don't I? Got to be very careful about that. Every man's work will be made manifest. It's going to be shown who you are and what you are. And you know what? It's not what you do here on Sundays. It's not what you do here on Wednesdays. But it's what you do at home. It's what husbands and wives and how they handle and care for one another. It's how we treat our children. It's how we go through life. It's how we handle those that we work with and the places that we go to shop and do our things out there. Every man's work will be made manifest. It isn't the preacher's business. This is God's business. And God will take care of it. How's He going to do it? With fire, folks. It's going to be made manifest with fire. The things that don't belong there will burn up. The things that are genuine, folks, they'll come through. As the old scripture in Proverbs says, the fining pot is for silver, but the furnace is for gold. Gold is what God wants. Even Job himself knew what God wanted, didn't he? He said, when I come through this, I shall be what? I shall become as gold, tried in the fire. May the Lord help us this morning. Fire hurts. Fire burns. Fire uses oxygen. Sometimes it seems like we go through trials sometimes, things so difficult, and we say, Lord, I can't take any more. Can't take any more. The Lord knows what we can take, and the Lord knows what it's going to take for you and I to make heaven, folks, to get things right here in this life. The fire will distinguish truth or error. It will correct views of piety or false. There's some people that can really put on a good pious act in front of other people. But the fire looks down even deeper than that, doesn't it? The fire burns a lot deeper than any piety that you and I might put on. The fire will prove whether what we've done should have been done or not. It will expose in how we are living our lives. That's what this fire will do. Because God loves us. And as you've heard it said so many times, He wants us to make heaven more than we do. I don't know fully that I can understand that, because I'm desperate to make heaven my home. I fully want to do that by the grace of God. The fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If what you're building in your life, if what you're building on your foundation, if the material that you're using to build upon, folks, if it won't abide the fire, he said, if any man's work abide, he had built thereon, he will receive a reward. But if the work burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. Yet so is by fire. The Bible tells us that Noah and his household was saved by water. Folks, if there's things there, if your work is burned, he will suffer loss. If there's lust down in my heart, if there's a desire for things of the world, what did John say? 1 John 2:15. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The love of the world is not of the Father. Am I saying that right? Is not of the Father. Love not the world. And yet people are going after the world so wholeheartedly today. Putting everything, energy, all their energy and going after the things of the world. Instead of looking up and acknowledging and understanding God, who He is, what He means, and what it's going to mean to my soul. He said here, if His work abide, which He hath built thereon, He shall receive a reward. Don't you want to build things on your foundation that's going to survive the fire? We want to receive the reward, don't we? If any man's work be burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. With that being said, I'd like to look at a scripture that we all quote sometimes in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:7. He talks about some fire here. Let me read the 6th verse. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, who knows whether you need it or not? The Lord does, doesn't He? Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Your salvation looks to the present. My salvation doesn't look to the past. It doesn't look to the future, because this may be my last day. But it looks to the present. It looks to where you are right now. That's where your salvation looks to. And I want to say, I believe we all know that earthly trials are necessary, but every one of them is temporary. Sometimes you feel like it's gone on and on and on, but how many of you here today have ever gotten into a trial and it's never went away? They're temporary. God said there would be a time when He would come and He'd bring us out of those things. Now He said here, that it might be found glory, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Manifold temptations that you and I face as we live here in this life are diversified trials. Different trials that God designs, that God knows that's going to refine you and I. Fire refines. And fire purges. And if I have time, we're going to read the scripture. But it refines you and I. And that's what God is in the work of refining you and I. But if you have true faith in God, true faith cannot be destroyed even though God is in the process of refining faith through our trials. We need to remember that. True faith will not be destroyed as God is in the process of refining our faith through the trials. True faith. Faith in God. It is the victory. I'm just dealing with this 7th verse here. It is the victory over the trials is what brings spiritual growth and maturity. It'll bring it to every one of us that is willing to stay in the trial. People are not willing to stay in the trial very much anymore. Lord, help us that will stay in the trial. It said any work, man's work abide that he's built, he'll receive a reward. But if any man's work be burnt, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, God in his mercy and God in his love allow these fiery trials to come. And they seem very fiery sometimes, but folks, it's God in his mercy and his love that his purpose and his intention is to save you and I by the fire. By the fire that he uses to work on you and I, the trial of your faith. Much more precious than gold. You know, I heard someone say one time, the ones that God can use the most is those that he has bruised the most. People that have been down into the flames and been through the fire and through the trials and the tests of being a good soldier for Jesus Christ, folks, that's the one. Apostle Paul, if he was here today, he'd tell you, that's the ones God can use. Because God permitted him to go through the, even though he was a servant and he was called to God, God permitted him to be used. When I was over, one of the times I was over in Hawaii, we drove by some sugar cane fields. And they were on fire. They were burning. And I asked the guy there, the people that we were with, I said, what's this all about? He said, well, they're getting ready to harvest. Now, I want you to apply this in a spiritual sense, spiritual way. They're getting ready to harvest the sugar cane. They go in by hand and they cut the stalks and they take the stalks and they lay them and then they process them and get the sugar. But he said before they will go into the field and cut down the stalks, the first thing they do is set the fields on fire and it gets rid of all the varmints that are in the field. It'll get rid of the snakes, it'll get rid of the rats or mice or whatever else may be there. And you know what else it does? Those leaves that are hanging off the stalks that are just all dried up, it burns them off. But it doesn't burn the sugar cane itself because of the moisture that's inside the sugar. It does not damage the sugar cane. I thought, wow, that's awesome. And that's what God wants to do with me. And that's what God wants to do with you. He'll send the fire. But folks, if we've got the Spirit of Christ in us, and we have Him working in us, and a desire, and a faith, and a trust in God, that fire can come and burn off all the unnecessary stuff, run off all the snakes and all those varmints that are out there, and you and I will survive, so as by fire. I thought, what a wonderful analogy. And God does that and will do that to you and I. It would behoove us to stay as sweet as we can, to stay as close to God as we can, but it's going to take some work. I want to ask you a question. Don't answer it to me, but answer it to yourself. When's the last time you took your temperature? We probably don't do that very often unless we get sick. When you take a temperature of a normal person, it's around 98.6, isn't it? That's what they say. 98.6 means you're all right. Folks, sometimes when no one else is around, we just need to come into the presence of God and take our temperature. And say, Lord, is the Spirit burning within me? Am I where you want me to be? Am I making any progress? Or have I been stuck in a rut all this time? We need to take our spiritual temperature to be sure that it's normal. And God, it's what God wants us to be. I believe that when the purging is over and the fire has burned out and there's no more fuel for the flame, if you would, that we'll have a 98.6. that we'll come through that with greater faith, greater desire, greater purpose, greater power to live for God. And be the vessels that He wants you and I to be. He's wanting us to be vessels for Him. Take your temperature sometimes. Also, in Hawaii, I did get to see this one time. I was there three times. Hopefully I won't be going anymore. It's a beautiful place, but it's too far away. But one time when I was there on the big island of Hawaii, they have a lot of volcanoes. Some of them are kind of active. And I got to watch this one volcano. He was getting ready to, I think it happened two or three days after we left the main show, the main event. But we were standing there and we were looking at this volcano from a distance. And you could see the smoke really coming out. Coming out real strong. Over in Hawaii, these volcanoes build up a pressure down inside of them. That pressure is built up through fire that burns the molten lava that is down in that volcano. And that fire is burning and it's raging and you can't see that down in there. But folks, there comes a time when the pressure gets so great that it has to relieve itself. And that's when you see all the lava and all the fire going up in the air. I saw lava everywhere over around those volcanoes. Sometimes that fire gets hot, doesn't it? Sometimes that pressure builds up. Sometimes we say, Lord, I can't take any more. Lord, I don't understand this. I want to encourage you, stay faithful. Stay true. Don't give up on the Lord, because what's going on in your life, what's going on in your experience, what you're dealing with in your heart is something that God has supplied for you to get greater faith, greater victory, greater maturity, and greater understanding of how He works and what He wants to do in your life. He deals with each and every one of us differently, don't they? They said that sometimes the pressure can build up inside of one of those volcanoes that it will throw that lava a mile up into the air. That's a long ways to throw that a mile in the air, all that heat. If you've never been there off the side of those mountains where the volcanoes are, there's lava, black rock just flowing down. You see it just how it just flowed down the hill until it cooled off. And when it cooled off, it just stayed there. I remember the first time we went. I don't always understand my wife. I guess that shouldn't be a surprise to wives. First time we was there, they allowed us to walk across the volcano. We didn't, of course, go down in the hole, but we walked across and around this volcano. And all the walking around, there were little pockets, little small holes. Puffs of smoke were coming out. My wife says, "This is exciting. I really, really love this. This is really neat." And I said, "I really think you got a problem." I said, "We're standing on top of this place where there's fire and there's lava down there that one of these days is going to go flying mile into the sky, and you and I might just be here when it happens. How can that be exciting to you?" Folks, God has a process that He wants to work on every one of us. And I want to tell you something else. That first time that we were there walking across that thing, it was amazing. There were they were small, they were dainty, they were pink, they were orange, they were little flowers, little stem, and beautiful little flowers growing right out of the lava. Right out of that black ash. There was no dirt. There was no land around, just lava. And little perfect, beautiful little flowers. Now that's what impressed me. But all I wanted to do was look at them real quick and get off of that thing. Because I saw one just before it went off down in on the Big Island of Hawaii. Folks, I know we face pressures. Every one of us. I know we face hurts. I know that. I know that we deal with grief. And we deal with sorrow. But folks, it's up to you and I to keep those things out of our hearts and out of our lives that don't please God, that will hinder us from drawing closer to Him and deepening down. And it's up to you and I to do this. God's not going to come down and grab me by the scuff of the neck and make me do it. But it's up to you and I to do it. I'm responsible for Larry. You're responsible for you. What you allow in your life and what you do, I realize that's between you and God. It's not my business. And I don't pry into other people's business. But oh, do you see how that works when that fire and that lava and that pressure begins to build up? You see what happens? There's a purging. That's what's going on. It purges itself. And it gets rid of all that lava down in there. And shoots that fire out. Folks, I'm not even going to take the time to go over there. You know the scripture, but on the day of Pentecost, whenever the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and in a cloven tongue, remember that? That cloven tongue represents and is a symbol of purging. Cloven tongue, fire. That's how God deals and works with us. It always hurts. It always hurts. But God wants to cleanse us. And He wants to purify us. And make us vessels pleasing to Him. I want to read one more scripture. Found in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Malachi 3 and 1. Behold, I send my messenger. Who's that? Who's this messenger? That's a prophecy of Jesus, isn't it? And he shall prepare the way before me. Oh, he's talking about John the Baptist there, I'm sorry. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, he asks a question. We'll leave it with us. Who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. You and I, in this prophecy, are the sons of Levi, folks. And he wants to purify us. He wants to purge us as gold and silver, that we may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Trials are not always easy, seldom easy. Trials can get pretty hot. Things can be very difficult in life. Hurts come and they stay around for a while. You and I allow, God allows you and I to go through the processes of what it's going to take to get our souls to heaven. The best thing that I know for us to do, folks, is to be willing to stay in the place that God has us. Be willing to let Him work His work and His process. Fire. It burns. It purges. It cleanses. But folks, when it doesn't have any more fuel, the fire goes out. May the Lord help you and I to have a tenderness and a heart toward God, folks. There aren't very many today. As I said at the beginning of this little message, after that 9/11 day 15 years ago today, church houses, they said, were full all across our country. But it didn't take people very long to get back into their own ways. It didn't take people very long to forget about their souls, to forget about their danger that they're in. Where there is no fear of God, there is no worship of God. People have no heart toward God when they don't have a fear of God. May the Lord help you and I to keep the fear of God on our hearts and live for Him.